In this section of Luke, Jesus is talking about prayer in response to one of his disciples asking him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So what we have then in this story is a series of sayings by Jesus in response. First, the Lord's Prayer. Second, parable of the persistent friend. And then a series of sayings about asking and God's response. The structure of this in terms of mnemonic structure is then the prayer, which I assume that although because Luke's version is different than Matthew's, which is what we know and normally pray, takes a little adjustment. So Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer is simpler. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And don't bring us to the time of trial. And that's it. So the more balanced phrases of Matthew are not present here. This is all simple, direct, in effect, commands to God about what I want. The parable, it has three sentences, or periods in Greek. The first one is the friend going at midnight and knocking on the door and saying, friend, lend me three loaves of bread for a friend of mine. So the verbal thread here is friend. Suppose one of you has a friend. You go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three, for a friend of mine has arrived. I have nothing to set before him. The next is his answer from inside, and he's ticked. Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't give up and give you anything. And then is the gift and Jesus' statement. So even though he won't get up, which is the verbal thread that's connected with the end of his. So he says, I can't get up and give you anything, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's his friend. So those are the three phrases that come from before. Because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So if you notice those verbal threads and the structure of this parable, it's easy. And the same is true then of the next episode. So I say to you, ask, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open. So the structure of this is ask, search, knock. And the second part of it has that same structure. Whoever asks receives, whoever searches finds, whoever knocks the door will be opened. Ask, search, knock. Then the final episode is about children and parents giving good gifts to their children. So if your child asks for a fish, we'll give a snake. Ask for an egg, a scorpion. Fish, snake, egg, scorpion. So if you know how to give, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And that key word, ask, is then the last. If you pay attention to that, that structure of the story, it's easy to learn. Now, the sounds of this section. This is direct teaching and instruction, followed by the parable, and further admonitions, first to ask and then to be confident that God will respond and give us what we ask. The prayer. We tend to hear this prayer as a series of supplications made in a tone of begging and of subordination. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day, and so on. I expect that Jesus' tone is much more direct. And it's worth noticing that it's a series of commands. So, Father, hallow your name. Your kingdom come. Give us. Forgive us. And don't bring us to the time of trial. I think it's pushier. It is more demanding. It's in a tone of stating what it is that we want. But in terms of Jesus' teaching, then, it is of his teaching his disciples, us, what to pray for. That is, that these are the things that really matter rather than the trivia that we often pray for. The parable is fun. It is a parable about two guys who are yelling at each other through the door, and then about what will happen. That even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's his friend, because of his persistence, he'll get up and give him whatever he needs. So this is a guy parable of guys mouthing off to each other. You know, it's like basketball players, doing trash talk or whatever. I mean, it has that spirit to it. That's the tone of it. It's not pious. It's not holiness talk. It's rather fun. The last part of it is then a series of statements that are another set of commands, but these are directed to the disciples. Ask, it'll be given to you. Search, you'll find. Knock, for whoever asks receives. Whoever searches finds. So is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if your child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? No. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will it? So the spirit of this is, and the tone of it, is on the one hand more direct. It's on the other hand more confrontational. There's a lot more energy in this than the way in which we normally read it and tell it as a series of pronouncements. So I'd recommend that. I'd recommend that you explore this and explore telling this in a different way than we have normally heard it. Now, what's going on here in relation to the prayer? The prayer is simple and direct. It's distinguished by a set of imperatives. It is spoken in a good spirit that's confident, not begging. It's not quiet and imploring. There's also no praise or thanksgiving here. It's not saying, thank you, God, for all the things, thank you for this food or thank you for whatever. There's no implicit confessions here, oh, have mercy on me or forgive me for this and that I did. It's rather summed up, forgive us our sins. And then a statement of expectation or of reciprocal forgiveness, for we also are forgiving everyone indebted to us, which is not what we would normally pray. Another dimension of this is that a significant part of this is focused on the future. Your kingdom come, and don't bring us to the time of trial. So those are things in the future. They're not about present needs. Give us each day our daily bread. That's each day. Forgive us our sins. We clearly need that each day. So it's about a style of life. So specifics about what these are about. Father first. Father is the most starkly simple introduction of a prayer in the entire tradition of Israel. It may be a child's word, Abba, Daddy. It is a word of family intimacy. All of this prayer is thoroughly Jewish. If you want to look up Joe Fitzmyer's commentary, pages 900 and 901, has a series of quotations from various Jewish prayers that have almost exactly the same content. The difference is there are a lot more words. So Jesus' prayer is starkly simple. It's also starkly brief and intimate. These are the things that you would say, to your father in that style. Father, hallow your name. Now, hallow here means make your name respected and honored. Hallowed does not mean that it would be spoken with a sense of awe or wonder or holiness. It's about respect. It's about honor. Honor your name. Why? Because people are regularly using it in curses and speak of your name with hostility, with degradation. It's what blasphemy is about. It's also about an attitude toward God, an attitude of hostility, of resentment, of blaming God, of hating God. The prayer is that your name, make your name respected, make your name honored, valued, your kingdom come. What this means is that God's government in the world would be fully and completely established. So your kingdom is not about your establishing a position of power in which you will dominate the world as a king. It is rather that your government of peace, your government of reconciliation, your government of justice, in which everyone has enough to eat and has health care, that those basic needs for human beings would be met everywhere in the world. That's the prayer. Your government, your desire for the earth be fulfilled and implemented, done, accomplished. No war, peace, honor among people, bread enough for everybody to have to eat, health care so that everyone is taken care of, your government. Give us each day our daily bread. So that just makes explicit what one part of God's government in the world would be. That is, that everybody would have enough to eat every day. And forgiveness. That the cycle of revenge and hostility between us and God, between us and other people in the world, would be ended. So forgive us our sins in the same way that we also forgive others who are indebted, who have sinned, who have trespassed, who have done violence to us, whoever is in any way indebted to us, that we forgive them. So these are ways then of implementing God's government in the world. And finally, do not bring us to the time of trial. This is the prayer that we would not be killed, that we would not be tortured for our faith, that we would not be faced with the choice of either being tortured or killed, or of saying we don't believe in God. The time of trial was the time of testing, of ultimate testing, and it was a familiar experience. It is reflected in the stories of the martyrs in 2 Maccabees and the stories of the prophet martyrs, Isaiah, the times of trial, like the story of Susanna. So this is a prayer that we not be subjected to that kind of violent testing. Good prayer, worth praying, because it's happening all the time in the world. So, that's Jesus' prayer. The bread probably does not mean the bread of heaven or the bread of Eucharist, but rather the simple bread that people need in order to live. The parable. It's a simple parable, but there's one place that is initially confusing. So, when Jesus says, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, because of his persistence. Now, who does his refer to here? Well, it refers to the guy who's outside the door, banging on the door and saying, friend, give me three loaves of bread. Friend of mine has arrived. I've got nothing to set before him. So I'd suggest that you tell this parable in the way that Jesus told it, which is that he recreated the situation. And he told this in the way that somebody who's knocking on the door and asking for his friend to wake up and give him some bread would say, and then of the guy who's ticked because he woke him up and he's waking up his children and saying, I won't get up and give you anything. But then is Jesus' words, but I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's his friend, because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So if he keeps banging on the door and asking, oh yeah, he'll find, oh okay, I'll get up and give you three loaves of bread. Here, take it. It is told in good humor and is a parable about persistence in prayer. And that's what then the things at the end encourage. The first part is about asking. Ask and it will be given. Search and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. This is about prayer, about what you do in relation to God. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Now, what is this about? This is about a way of prayer. The instruction is, ask for what you want. In Ignatian prayer, it is to name the desires of your heart. So, and ask it in confidence that God will give you what you ask. It's the same theme as is developed in Jesus' discourse in John 14. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. So whatever you ask, I'll do it. So it's the same basic sentiment here that is expressed. If you ask, God will respond and will give you the Holy Spirit. And in some way or another will respond to your request for what you want. So Jesus' instructions about prayer are to identify what you want, to name it, to be explicit. It's also to focus your prayer in relation to the big things that will break the cycles of violence in the world. To honor God's name, for God's government to come, for everybody to have bread, for our sins to be forgiven, so that we also then forgive others, and that we will not be brought to times of trial, of execution, of martyrdom, for our faith in God. Simple instructions. And I would suggest that on the Sunday when you celebrate this story, that the prayers be short, simple, and direct, rather than wordy. No long sentences. Try to keep your sentences as short as Jesus' sentences are here. And make them direct requests to God about what we want, shaped by the desires for God's government and the world. Peace.